This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, it's week 44 of 2020, and welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the podcast about the fun we have in our theaters. My name's DJ, and you can reach us this week, especially this week, we'll get to that in a second. You can reach us on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email us at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always talk to all of us directly by leaving comments at our website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. There's places for comments underneath all the featured theaters under all the podcasts. And a great place for everybody to come together and talk home theater. Or we can do it on Twitter, whatever. But I say us, especially this week in my theater, very excited. I got my buddy John with me. How you doing, John?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me back. I guess I went over well enough the last time that you felt comfortable bringing me back again.
Well, I've said this to a couple of people. I didn't even say it to you yet. This is my anniversary show. My 1 year anniversary of Brightside Home Theater. And we're going to be talking a lot of Star Wars. That's you and I talk Star Wars. We've been talking Star Wars for years. So I thought it would be apropos to have you on, but this is the part I haven't told you. I wanted the listeners to know that if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today. Not alive. I'd still be alive.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm not that old.
Nope. The Brightside Home Theater Podcast would not exist if it wasn't for you. So
you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All the listeners, I'll give
why?
It. Why?
Yeah.
Because I could not do what I do here if we didn't set out on our journey to do Brightside Chat.
Okay.
There's no way. And it's, you know what it was like when you and I started doing the Brightside Chat.
Quite a journey.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny. We've told this story on Brightside Chat, but it's like, you start out and you're recording, like, just like we're recording now. There's nobody here. It's just us. And that first time doing it, we got nervous and we're like, okay, record. And we started and we froze.
Right.
We're like, okay, stop. Let's start again because we didn't say anything. So, but we got to go through that together and we learned, we learned how to podcast. We learned all the ins and outs. And we grew that podcast to the point that we got picked up by the Nerdy Legion. So we learned a lot and it taught me a lot on how to do this. And I would never, ever I never would have thought I'd be doing a podcast by myself. So it was you and I and you giving me the confidence to do that and us having fun and doing what we do at Brightside Chat. But that's why I'm here today. I get a lot of compliments on what I do here and people really enjoy this. And I just wanted everybody to know that if it wasn't for you, this wouldn't even be possible. So thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Yeah. I'm going to have you on more often, but probably
the
anniversary
shows. Am I your first repeat customer?
Well, yes, you were because you were my first. This is your third.
Is it my third?
Yeah, because we did the two Star Wars events back when the box set came out.
You're right.
I know I
am. Right. Yep.
I did it. Yeah, to actually host a podcast with me, you're the third podcast. This is your third hosting podcast.
Fantastic.
So look at you. Look at you, because when I had Rob H. on, I was saying I thought he was the first one to double up, but he wasn't because you were when you did the two back. We did them in April and March when we did the two episodes of course, Star Wars.
Of Star Wars, yeah. And, of course, I'm back to talk about Star Wars again. And you're a bastard, by the way, I just want to say, because
what I do now.
Because, you know, we've watched a lot of Star Wars
over
the last year. And when you asked me to be on this podcast, I, of course, had to watch Star Wars again. And I was okay, well, I'll watch A New Hope, and, you know, that'll be that. But now that I watched it, now I'm itching to watch it again. Like, I'm probably going to end up going through the whole 9 movies again.
Isn't
over the next couple of weeks. And I was like, I have watched more Star Wars this year than in the last 40 years
put together.
So.
Yeah. It's so, yeah. We'll get into Star Wars when we get into the whole Star Wars part of the show. But, yeah, so let's get on with the show part of the show before we start our conversation and everything like that on Star Wars. But all right. So this week I have a retraction or a correction, I should say, not a retraction, a correction. Last week I had said, the show Tiny World, that it is on, I had stated it was on Disney Plus. It's actually on Apple TV Plus. So I went back in the show.
Shame on you.
I know. Well, Steve George, one of my listeners, he's the one that recommended it a while ago, and he actually contacted me and corrected me, and he said, you said Disney Plus. I was like, oh, my mistake. So I changed all the show notes, but I just wanted to put it out there because most people don't read that stuff anyways.
right.
New Twitter followers this week. It was a close one. I almost broke my streak of not picking up Twitter followers, but coming in under the wire is Dalton. Followed me just hours ago. I was like, oh, look at that, as we record.
Right under the wire.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there's a streak. But hey, it's been a long running streak. I've been picking up and growing rapidly. So I was like, oh, all right. It's been a slow week. Really, this week, no movie recommendations, but I put in movie recommendations this week. I put in The Mandalorian Episode 9 because that's what everybody's talking about. Apparently, that's what everybody's been watching. When Steve talked to me about Tiny World, Steve and I talked a little bit about Mandalorian. He said everybody's buzzing over there. He's over in England. And he's just, I mean, it's crazy over there. It's just such a great show. One of the things, you and I just finished talking about Mandalorian in our other show. And one of the things we didn't mention was, what did you think of the multiple ratios?
Yeah, you know, I heard, I'll be honest with you, I'm embarrassed to say I didn't really notice it. So I had
Don't
to
be
hear
embarrassed.
It
I got a good story for it, too.
Yeah, I had to hear it on another podcast. And I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that happened. So, I think it's cool that they did it, but I have to go back and rewatch it because I didn't pick up on it.
So it happens right before the battle at the end when Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah. The American Jedi.
Yes. He's looking up at the dragon the screen opens up. But here's my embarrassing story. So I put masking up for whenever, anytime.
Oh, so you didn't even see it.
So I watched it first thing in the morning, got up early. It was snowing here. I wasn't working anyways, but I still got up early. I put this thing on at like before 7 o'clock, and I could not wait to watch Mandalorian because, you know, we have no other content coming. So,
right.
So I put my masking up, which really helps with the, you know, Mandalorian has that. It's not the perfect blacks. It's streaming. It's, you know, we've all gone over those issues. So I feel like the masking really helps. So I watched the whole entire episode, loved it. And then at about 10 or 11 o'clock after my son had gotten up and had his breakfast and everything, I'm like, you want to watch it? And he's like, yeah. So we sat down to watch it again. And it was in the second viewing that I looked into the masking towards that end scene and saw like there was light hitting the masking, which the mask, and that's how, I mean, when you use black velvet like that, the thick black velvet, it really catches a lot of the light. So it's hard to even see anything in there, but I could see something and I was like, wait a minute. And I pulled the masking down. I was like, oh no, like was the whole show like this? And I just noticed it now, but I found out that obviously it wasn't, but I did like the way they did that. And the way that you got to go back and see it if you haven't noticed it for yourself, because they open it up like a window, like from the top and bottom, they widen the screen gradually, not like the way they did it in Dark Knight, you know, when they just go from one scene to another and just the scene just goes to a bigger screen. This one was like purposefully done. The scene stayed on on target, and the screen, the black bars just gradually pulled away. It was really nice.
Yeah, I definitely need to go back and watch that again, because like I said, I didn't even notice it.
I wonder if it's something they're going to do in multiple episodes, or if it, because you had mentioned earlier that was, in our other podcast, you had mentioned that Favreau directed this one, so maybe that was a choice he made. Who knows?
Yeah, that was so far as the first episode that he's done, and I don't know that any episodes last season did that, so I'm sure it was a conscious decision by him. Whether it carries through the season with other directors will be interesting. You know, I'll definitely be watching closer for it now because, there's obviously opportunities for them to do it.
Yeah, I won't be putting my masking up.
Right.
It's funny because Steve had said that too about Favreau saying he said that, you know, he is kind of a home theater geek as well. So he really likes to, I mean, obviously we know he's a Star Wars geek. He loves all that stuff. And that entire episode, the entire series is just for Star Wars fans with the, did you know, I put it out
it's
online.
It's a love letter to Star Wars.
Oh yeah. And the Banthas single file.
Yeah.
Through that whole episode, they kept showing the overhead shots and everything. And everywhere they went, single file. And I was like, they never said it too, which I thought was really cool.
They didn't say it, but. But yeah, they definitely followed it.
Yeah, that was really cool. Really cool. Listener comments this week. So, John, I think you've officially made it when you're getting mocked by your listeners.
Yeah.
So Graham Cole on Twitter giving a great jab at my love of the pan. Did you see that one on Twitter?
I did not.
He wrote, at Brightside HT, hey, I found some more great pans. They really catch the mood. And it was a picture of pots and pans.
Oh, yeah.
Because every episode I'm talking about, oh, there's a really great pan here. There's the way it pans left to right. It's all
right.
And now I'm everything. Yeah, it's about pans. But I thought it was funny. I'm like, that's when you know you've officially made it, when your listeners stop mocking
you. You've arrived.
also, comments this week. On the website, John Z regarding the Joiner Theater, that Andrew Jones Pioneer setup is a nice bang for the buck speaker system. My brother-in-law runs it too, and I'm amazed at how it sounds for the money. Thumbs up. And Steve George commented on Beardass Theater, nice home theater! Exclamation point. So that's pretty cool. People love to hear that stuff, so. Go there and check out all the great theaters. And speaking of which, let's get into this week's theater. And lo and behold, here we are sitting in Circoni Cinema.
We are. Yeah. I might run out of money before the end of the year too, but well, hopefully my theater will be able to stay open.
There you go.
I'll be looking for that government bailout. The end of the year.
Well, our theaters are the only cinemas that are open.
Yeah.
It's just, or actually having people watch stuff in them. I mean,
I'm going to start renting out my living room for $99.
There you go. So Circoni Cinema, this is a first time on Brightside Home Theater here that the actual owner of the theater is on to comment on it with me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Look at that. I mean, I'm I'm a trailblazer.
Yes, you are. We trailblaze podcasting together.
Because after today, nobody else is going to want to send you their pictures without being on your show to talk about
it. Oh, don't say that.
So
yeah.
You up.
Yeah, thank you. All right, so let's go through this. Your home theater setup, you have a Sony X900F 75-inch TV.
Yeah.
Very nice. Your Blu-ray player is a Sony UBP X700 4K.
That is, yep.
AV receiver, very nice. I like this. Denon AVR X6500H.
Yep.
A lot of this you just got. I remember when you got it last year.
This is all new. This is all... About a year old.
Right. This is if you knew a pandemic was coming, you wouldn't have bought.
Or maybe I knew it was coming and that's why I bought it. But yeah, exactly. I'm still paying for a lot of this stuff, so it's pretty new.
Yeah, so, all right, listen.
I'll be honest with you, but I don't want to interrupt you, but you have me to thank for you doing this podcast. I kind of have you to thank for all of this equipment, because I bought all of this after I came home from theater last summer.
Right.
You know, I mean, again, I've always been into the home theater stuff, but you kind of inspired me to upgrade all of my stuff and get a little bit more professional quality equipment. So so I don't know if I want to thank you or curse you, because as I said, I'm still paying for it.
Well, does your wife listen to this podcast?
She does not.
All right. Then you can thank me all you want, because if she heard that, she'd never talk to me again.
You're right. You're right.
So thank me all you want. That's cool.
Yeah.
And these speakers were also new too, right? You have
yes.
all new speakers. Your front left and right are Klipsch RP8000Fs. You have a center RP500C. These are all Klipsch speakers. Your surrounds, you have four. So you have sides and rears Klipsch R51Ms. Right. And then what? Klipsch doesn't make in-ceiling speakers?
They do, but I bought these again based on your record.
These are what I have. Yamaha, NSIC 800WH, the 140-watt speakers. They're really nice speakers, but they're Atmos speakers. They get the job done. And yeah, you actually went through, you have in your living room, this is your living space, and you had them come in and put speakers in your ceiling.
I did.
That's pretty cool. That's a dedicated home cinema right there. Because a lot of people aren't allowed to do that.
Well, I had to convince my wife that they would be seamless. And, you know, honestly, I didn't add them in the – I probably need to take some pictures and you can add them to the website of the ceiling speakers, because they did a great job. Like, if you really – if you're not looking for them, they blend right in. Like, you wouldn't even know they were there.
Yeah, you should definitely – you know what? We'll pretend we're talking about that, and then I'll just throw it in right there.
There you go.
all right. And you have dual SVS PC 2000s.
I do.
Those are beautiful.
Those are monsters.
Yes, they are. We'll get to that in the picture. And your media players, you have an Apple TV 4K and a Fire TV 4K.
Yeah, and then, you know, really the only one that ever gets turned on is the Apple TV. I could pretty much unplug the Fire TV.
That's what I was just going to say. Do you even use the Fire anymore?
I don't. No. I don't ever use it.
Yeah, Apple TV does such a good job.
There's really
job.
No reason to.
And, right.
You know, the Apple does everything, and it does it better.
Is that my Apple TV? I mean, my Fire TV?
No, this That's is the 4K. The yeah, this is the 4K box.
Oh, okay.
The one you left is in the spare room. Actually, it's not even hooked up anymore, because I bought an Apple TV for my bedroom,
for that
too.
Room
so
too? Yeah.
Yeah, now it's just in the drawer.
That's funny. All right, let's get to these pictures, because you sent me these pictures. Now, I've been in this theater, and as we talked before we started, I was like, this is the same setup, and it looks beautiful. It's like you had like somebody come in professionally, clean the place, get it all prepped and ready for the photo shoot, because this looks like something out of Home and Gardens. And it's like, I know you, and that's not
well.
Right.
As you said, this is our main living space. So,
right.
Like I don't have a dedicated theater room. This is where this is our living room, and so like this is all Lydia. You know, like my wife did all of this.
The decorator.
Yeah, I put in the equipment, but and it took some doing. Like I had to do some convincing to get these big pieces of home theater equipment into our living room.
Right. So. Well, I love like in the first picture here, it's like you have like slightly green curtains. You have the brown and the green, the tan or whatever, beige couch with the green. Right. I mean, Liddy did a great job matching the curtains to the pillows and the wood floor. Everything looks great. But then for the home theater fan, we have these four like beautiful speakers just popping out. And you can see the SVS sub over in the corner.
In the back
just
corner.
Popping its head up.
Now, up until about a month ago, I was running all of these with the grills off. because, you know, the clips have the really nice copper. But I'm afraid of dust, so I ended up putting the grills on.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted to keep them a little bit more protected. But I really like the look of them without the, you know, without the grills, because they're beautiful speakers.
Yeah. They do. The setup looks nice. The stands look really nice. I mean, this just the way it's funny, because sometimes, you know, the decorator, the wife, is usually upset that the speakers stand out this much. They want something a little bit more. But this is I wouldn't even say this is a compromise. It's like there are two people living in this house. There's a home theater fan and a decorator.
Right. Sure. We had to blend.
Exactly. And I love it. I think it's fantastic. And it's I see, like, you can kind of see where the prime seating position is. We'll move on to the next. I mean, just by the way these speakers are laid out, you can see where you're going to be looking forward. Right. The next picture we go into the corner and we see that PC 2000 in the corner. And right. Yeah, those are.
Which, again, up until about 6 weeks or so ago, both of the subs were at the front of the room. And
you kind of cornered them, and later?
Yeah, I went ahead and bought the, you know, the wireless adapter so yep. I could try it in the opposite, you know, in the opposite corners. And I have noticed a big improvement in the, like, the bass, like the feel of the bass. Whereas I get more of it now than I was when they were both at the front.
Let me ask you this. How are you running your subs out of the receiver? Are you using both outputs, or are you Y splitting them?
No, I have two outputs.
Y split them.
Yeah?
Yep. You'll see another difference. Y split them, run both subs out of the same output, right?
Okay.
And then what happens is now you're running one sub. And right. When you run the multi-EQ, when you run that, it'll think it's just once. It makes a big, big difference. That's okay. I got that from AV Rant, and it's like I did that a while ago, and it's I actually did that after you were here. So you heard my bass in my room then. Now right. When I did that, it's like Jen's been asking me for months, like, we've got to nail this down upstairs. We've got to nail this down. Can we get some of that tacky stuff for this frame in like two floors away? So it is a big difference. You probably won't be able to go to reference level with Lydia home, but it's good.
I can't now anyways, but because you can see where these speakers are, like the surround speakers are like at our heads.
Right.
So, but you know, she's not always home. So
nope. Yeah. So try that. Go to, well, there is no more Radio Shack, but you know, the old Y splitter. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Run them both out of the same and, you know, recalibrate and you'll be good.
I'll do that this week.
There you go. See, I'm keeping you busy too.
You are.
All right. Next picture. Move to the front of the room.
Yep.
There you are. I see
you. There I am in the reflection. The reflection of me.
But I love the clean look, the white walls, the white, the cabinet. It's so nice. Like, your little picture frame there. It's like, and one of the things I like about it, and I've seen a bunch of theaters now, but when people integrate them into their living spaces, to me, it's like it's such a cool thing to see how everybody has done it, because once the lights are down and it's nighttime and you're watching, you're still immersed in the same situation that I'm in a dedicated room.
Right.
But this is still something that when somebody comes in your house, you're having people over, and you know there are people sitting there. You're not even talking about this. Say you're in the middle of having another grandchild over or something, right?
Yeah.
But people are looking around the room going, I'd really like to watch a movie in here. You know,
what
I mean? Like, they might not even say it, but you know people are thinking it, because, like, can I get that at home? And they haven't even heard it yet.
Right.
But that screen, 75-inch, that's – now, how far are you sitting from that?
We're probably
like 10 feet, something like that.
Yeah, if that, maybe eight.
Yeah. Oh,
eight
good.
Feet. Yeah, 7-8 feet. You know, and again, of course, I'd like bigger. You know, I'm.
You just haven't figured out how to integrate a projector or for an 85.
It's paying for the 85 because I'd want the OLED. And they're still in the 4,000-ish range.
Right.
Which, you know, again, is a tough pill to swallow since I've still got 10 payments or so left on the TV that I'm using. But there's a way. Like, there's a way to get it done with a projector. But
that, well, you have a ceiling fan, don't you?
Convincing. Yeah.
So, you know, what only... you could do is, and I've heard a lot of good things about the short throw.
That's what I was thinking, is getting one of those, because putting it in the on the ceiling with the ceiling fans would be difficult, because the spot where I could mount it, like, kind of let me look back at the picture.
But you could put it on that table right there.
Well, right, because there's a half wall behind the couch where I could mount the projector up high, but the problem is the ceiling fans would get in the way.
Right.
So I talked to you at one point about getting like a short throw projector, and maybe like a.
But you do like a short throw and put
like
it
a
on
retractable
that.
Screen.
Yep.
But you know, where there's a will, there's a way. Like, I might get there eventually, but
when you're ready, we'll have some fun.
Yeah, but you know, the next step up on the TV for me would be like the 85-inch OLED. And, you know, with the size, with where my seating position is, you know, that's almost like your 100-inch screen. You know what I mean? Based on where you're sitting. Because, you know, I'm 7-8 feet away from it. So an 85-inch screen is pretty big.
Yeah, it gives you that. It gives you a decent environment, which is what you're going for, that big size you're looking at, you know, looking up to.
But yeah, I'd love to get that projector up there. That's the only thing that really is I'm missing, I think.
Yeah. You know. Well, someday. We all have to have goals, right? And then when you get there, there'll be something else.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, I got to get there. And then I'll have to go somewhere else. So.
Yep. And then the last picture, we have Mandalorian.
Yep.
TV's on.
Yeah.
Room's
a
little dimmer.
Going. Yep.
Yeah. Really nice. Really nice. That would be cool. I'd like to see. You know what else you should do? Take a picture when it's actually like nighttime. Really dark. Get a nice picture of like maybe even the same one. That would be cool. Yeah. Maybe we'll have that. Yeah. Maybe we'll have that added with some ceiling pictures too. By the time this podcast comes out,
yeah, I'll definitely take some pictures of the Atmos speakers and get those for you. And then
cool.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow. Well, hell, I could do it right now. It's dark enough now. I could just go turn it on.
Yeah, it's late.
Yeah.
So. All right. That was it for this week's theater. Thank you for your submission, John.
Yeah, no
really
problem.
Appreciate it.
Love taking pictures. I'll be honest with you. These are the first pictures I've taken of it.
Really?
You know, yeah. Well, because I live it every day. I don't have any photos of it. So, but it was fun taking the pictures.
It came out really nice. It looks, I mean, it's so, like I said, it looks like somebody professionally cleaned it. So that's all the credit to Lydia.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I didn't clean anything to take the pictures. But, you know, we don't have any kids in the house anymore. It's just her and I. So we live pretty clean.
Yeah. You know, that helps. That helps. So, all right. If you'd like to have your theater published, featured on Brightside Home Theater Podcast, you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, or you can tweet at me, like DM me, but the best way is to email it so I have them all in one location. That works the best. Not necessarily, you know, get to come on the show, but this is special. You have to host with another podcast for over 2 years, and then you get
that. You're gonna put the time in.
All right, we'll get into that on the other side. We're featuring Star Wars because that was my opening show. That's what meant everything to me. That's why it's the other reason I'm here today. So let's play this trailer. We love this trailer. We've all heard this trailer, but let's play it again.
All right.
Luke Skywalker was just a farm boy until he received a mysterious message from a princess.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
She's beautiful.
Star Wars, starring Mark Hamill.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Harrison Ford.
Boring conversation anyway.
Luke, we're going to have to drop a knee!
I think
think we took a wrong turn.
Carrie Fisher.
Good luck.
Alec Guinness.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
20th Century Fox presents the most extraordinary motion picture of all time, Star Wars.
Here's where the fun begins.
No legendary adventure of the past could be as exciting as this romance of the future.
Here they come.
May the Force be with you in Star Wars.
All right, John. Star Wars. Home theater. I gave you a quote-unquote assignment. Pick a few scenes.
Yeah, I know. It was tough.
It was tough.
It was tough to watch Star Wars, man.
Right. But before we get into all of that, what has Star Wars like meant to you as far as home theater goes? And because that's what I wanted to tell the listeners too, is like, I've known you since we were kids.
Right.
And we kind of grew up in the idea of home theater. I honestly don't know who was into what first. Obviously, I think I kind of like, if it was you, I took it and ran with it. And you were like, oh, wait, right. Okay. You worked at Radio Shack. I used to go in there all the time. I'm upgrading equipment using your return policy. Right. I mean, there were a lot of fun things going on back then. But that was in the 80s. And
it was. And I mean, I think going back, I mean, I don't even know. But going back to my Radio Shack day, so like, you know, 19, 20 years old, I mean, I had a receiver and two speakers plugged into my TV. You know, I mean, I've had some form of theater set up.
But most people didn't have that then.
No. I mean, I've always been into it. Like, I've always been into the movies and video and all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm like you. Like, I don't know who was into it first, you or I. But, I mean, we've always loved it, right?
Like, right.
I mean, even going back, like, Star Wars is, I mean, it's everything to me. Like, we grew up with Star Wars. I was 7 years old when I saw it
right, for
the first time. And Star Wars has been my whole life, you know, for 40 years. So, 43 years at this point. So, I mean, as far as the home theater, you know, again, because even watching, and we'll get into this in a little bit later, but even with the 4K quality and upgrades that Star Wars has in this new box set, I mean, there's better productions out there, you know, like there's better 4K movies, you know, better Atmos sound movies out there, but Star Wars is always like the gold standard, you know.
Yeah.
It's the first thing I want to watch when I upgrade any part of my system.
Yep.
You know, it's what I want to measure everything against. So, you know, at this point, it's 43 years old 43 years old. I mean, there's better quality productions out there, but to me, it's always the thing I measure everything else against.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I'm in the, as we've talked off air and the podcast coming up, but I'm adding something to my theater. But the first thing I put on was Star Wars. Was A New Hope. The first thing I watched when I built the theater in this home was Star Wars. The first Laserdisc I watched was Star Wars. The first, like, anything I could do, anything, it's always, that's the benchmark. That's the thing that I want. Because to me, and I talked about this a year ago when I opened the podcast and I said, like, how much Star Wars meant to me. But it was like, it literally, not only did Star Wars, like, just the entertainment aspect of it and loving the movie and everything about the movie and then the, you know, the entire saga and everything that followed, but also the part of like what George Lucas did with Star Wars, with Dolby and
right,
bringing that sound to the cinema that had never been there before or to not to that kind of dynamic range that they used, and the way he forced people, for cinemas to go, okay, if you want the 70 millimeter, you have to install this system,
right,
which was the Dolby surround system. And learning about, obviously, you and I didn't know that when we were seven.
No.
You
no,
know, and most people, but what I think is cool is that most people probably don't even know the difference. Most people don't even care. Did you see it in 35 millimeter or did you see it in 70 millimeter back in the 70s? They don't care. Right. But there's a certain segment that does care, and that's what, and people like George Lucas, when they do stuff like that, it makes you, and John Favreau, when they do stuff like changing the aspect ratio and doing it in a gradual way that he did in Mandalorian, it's for people like us. And George Lucas is the one that started all of this with Star Wars. It took it, and it's almost like, to me, it feels like it'd be a tough argument to convince me otherwise, that he didn't start home theater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because of what he did in the cinema and bringing that whole Dolby idea and then bringing the movies to life like that. And then Dolby obviously taking off and then being able to do what they did in the '80s. And for me, just learning what he did in the '70s and getting the theaters to do that, that intrigued me. And I wanted to duplicate that in my home. And to like what you said about the TV, it's like, do you remember taking a TV back in the 80s and trying to put speakers on it because there were two wires on the back for an antenna?
Yeah, so it wasn't easy.
Yeah, you had to find the right TV that had the right outputs or input. There was no HDMI. There was no...
So, no, it was RCA cables and...
if that. And you were like, know, how do I get this signal yellow, to go
yellow,
over
white,
here?
And red. And it's like, how is this going to work? You know?
Right. So. Yeah, or a coax from your cable box. Right. And like, how do I rig this to get the sound out of here? And it's so like the messes that we made of wires and trying to figure. I mean, I remember laying in bed and thinking like, would this work? And then getting out, turning the light on, going back behind my theater rack and be like,
right,
try this at like 3 a.m. But yeah, but that was because of Star Wars, because of everything that he had, and not the movie itself, but what George Lucas did.
Right.
So it just, and then you get into the movie itself. And obviously when we met, when we were in high school, start talking, we talk comic books, we talk Star Wars.
Right.
And you talk all about that stuff. And then it's like, and now here we are 30 something years later.
Right.
And we're still doing it, but now we're just putting it out so other people can listen to us talk about
it. Right. Other people can hear us doing it.
So. But yeah, so that's kind of our history on where we came from.
Yeah.
And how we got to here. So, all right. For your homework, how'd you do? Did you enjoy the movie again? Yeah, I know you've.
Of course I did. I loved it.
What do you got? I have a few scenes. I wonder if we didn't exchange anything ahead of time. I wonder if we have any overlapping. I don't even. How many scenes do you have?
I've got 5 scenes.
Nice.
And
all right.
I guarantee you we overlap on one of them because we've both talked about it. Well, we've both talked about this multiple times when we talk about Star Wars. The first scene for me, and this isn't specifically because it's a great AV scene or that it really has anything to do with the home theater aspect of it. It's just the pure joy of Star Wars is at 33:51. And that is when Luke lights the lightsaber for the first time.
yeah.
And I know that's one of your scenes too, because like,
so you
know,
I have it at 33:48. So we'll have to go back and look. But yeah,
have to look. But yeah, that's when I paused it. You paused it a little bit earlier, I guess. But and it's just because it's so iconic. Like you've mentioned it multiple times. Like
yes.
You can't hear that sound and not know what you're listening to. Like it is just so ingrained in
right.
Like my DNA at this point, you know. Like I have lightsabers on my wall that I'm looking at right now that make that sound when you turn them on. And it's not specifically like there's no Atmos there. Like there's nothing there about it that's a home theater scene specifically. It's just the feeling that you get when you get there and you watch it. So
John, how are we featuring your theater and you're not showing your Star Wars collection?
Well, I know we should be, but we're not. It's in a different room.
Send them in.
Well, you've got them all.
I know.
You've got all those pictures.
I'll have to find them. I'll post them. Yeah. They'll be there. So okay. As people are listening, they'll be like, yeah, what were all those pictures that came after? Well, now we're talking about them. But yeah,
right.
You can go and look at all those pictures too. Just thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, I live in, like, I'm engulfed in Star Wars as we're recording this right now.
Right, right. Yeah, so. You have a little Star Wars shrine room,
yeah.
Collection room. But yeah, so at 30, yeah, 33, what did you have? 50, 51?
I have it at 33, 51.
Yeah, so we're 3 seconds off.
Yeah.
Potato, patata.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had it, like you said, I've talked about it so many times, that lightsaber, it means, like, the world to me. It's like, that's literally the first time a lightsaber was lit. With that sound, it's because it's the first time in that movie. It's the first movie, so nobody had ever seen that before. Try to go back to that time when somebody would take something out of a chest and then light it like that.
Right,
you'd be like, "What the heck?" But not only that, one of the things I noticed as far as home theater, because I did save that scene, the shot coming into that, they show Obi-Wan's hut.
His hut, yeah.
It's like a mud hut, you know? It's like all stucco. But when they get inside the building, inside his hut, listen around. It's all electronics. It's like he's in the middle of, like, IBM lab.
Right.
Like, listen closely. Like, if you're listening at reference level, you can hear the whirs of, like, computers and the fans and all of this stuff going on around your room. But it's supposed to be this, like, this hut cave in the middle of a desert. And it's actually pretty cool. And then that just shows the technology, because now he's about to light a lightsaber for the first time. And that, but yeah, the sound of that lightsaber. And notice that this, did you notice the way it's on the left side of the room?
Yeah.
And he's waving it around, and then the camera goes right to Obi-Wan, and but Luke is to Obi-Wan's left, but you only see, and it's just all of a sudden you just hear, wah, 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 but it's on the left side, and then he turns it off and it goes, wah, but it's only on your left side. But it wasn't like really loud. It sounded appropriately away from Obi-Wan. So it was pretty cool. Yeah. For a movie from 78, I thought they did a really good job on this Atmos track.
They did. And, you know, just to back up a second, because it is the four, you know, we're talking about the 4K.
Right.
You know, box set. Like, this is the, just from start to finish, this is the best Star Wars has ever looked. Like, even better than when we were 7 years old and saw it in the theater on the big screen.
It has
screen.
To be, right?
The colors, like, I was blown away every time I saw 3PO and R2 on screen. I mean, stands out so much at the, you know, in the very end, in the ceremony scene at the end of the movie, when R2's all shined up and repaired and 3PO's there, and just the color throughout, cause I didn't really isolate that in any of my scenes. You know, I talked more about audio things than video things, but like the look, the 4K restoration on this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, it has never been as vibrant as it is now with this. So, like, if you haven't bought this 4K set, I mean, and, you know, it's on sale for $199 now. So, you know, we paid $250 for it. But, I mean, it's not, it's an investment because it's $250. But, I mean, it's the best you're ever going to see it. Like, it's phenomenal.
Should we get it out of the way now? The only other purchase you'd probably ever make is if they come out with the, like, original cut.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a fan of the edits. You know, I do have the, I can't even remember what it's called now.
Yeah, I have it too.
What is it? Why am I blanking on what it
is?
Yeah,
it's though? Somebody where they,
but the original trilogy, you know, like the remastered original version, you know, which was, you know, really my go-to until these came out. And, you know, the quality of this will supersede now. Like, I can't go back and watch those other ones anymore now that I have this. But yes, if they ever give us the original cuts in 4K Atmos, I will absolutely spend whatever amount of money it takes to buy them again.
And so, what's funny is, I'll say this, because obviously people don't know you. You, before this 4K edition came out, swore off these, like, you would rather watch a degraded, like, another of the original. Yes. But since the 4Ks came out, you're like, no, I have to watch it.
The quality is just so much better. But, you know, not to take away from these, it's really killing me that I can't remember what they're called. But, you know, I bought these about a year and a half ago.
right,
off of eBay. And it's, you know, somebody did a really good job of restoring the original. I mean, they're, you know, they're definitely 1080p. I mean, they're not 4K, but I mean, they're pretty good quality. And I had decided that they were, that the quality was good enough that, like, that is what I was going to watch going forward anytime I wanted to watch it. But these 4K discs converted me, because they're just so good.
They're so good.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So let's get to that opening scene. I'll start with the opening scene and the music and how the Atmos, I think, brought that music to life even more so. Now, I thought it'd be interesting to talk to you about this because you've actually seen the orchestra, like, live performing this.
Yes, right? I did. We watched it. I guess it's been almost 2 years now. We went to go see the symphony, where, you know, they play the movie and then, you know, they're performing live. And, like, that's something to behold. Like, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It really was awesome. Like, that was a great experience. And at the time, I hadn't watched A New Hope in many years. You know, like,
wow.
It had been a while since I'd seen it. So being able to see the movie again in a quote-unquote theater environment, because it is on a, you know, a big screen. I mean, it's not like a IMAX theater size, but I mean, it was right. like a movie screen. And then to be in the room with the orchestra playing, it was quite an experience. I really, really enjoyed it. But yeah, I don't know. I guess to head you off of what you're going to ask, like, I don't know if the Atmos is better, like, if it's live or if it's Memorex.
Right.
I don't think anything beats live. Because no. You're literally in the app, like, there's nothing else you can do.
but I noticed, like, listening to this scene, and it's like, you know, those drums that, like, they stand in front of, there'll be two big ones, and the guy will have, like, you know, one drumstick with the giant marshmallow on the end of it in one right. hand and the same in the other, and he's just beating on the two drums, and you hear that in this, you know, the John Williams, this score, it's just incredible, but now with the Atmos and the just the amped bass here, it felt like those drums were in my room. Yeah. And it's like, but the clarity of the rest of the instruments is incredible, because, and I've talked about that on this podcast a bunch of times, and how my wife pointed out that that's where those horns are supposed to be, or that's where the stringed instrument, you know,
right.
and they're perfectly placed in your room. But they're not there. And the yeah. way this, the opening, it just, we haven't even gotten to the, you know, the flyover scene yet. We're just,
right.
this is just the opening.
The credits.
It's, yeah, the opening yeah. crawl. And you're like, wow, it just sounds, you know, sitting down to talk about it again, I was just like, wow, I don't know why, but those drums just really just hit me in the chest.
Well, right. And then it transitions right into the, you know, the opening scene with the Star Destroyer, and like the bass and the rumble is like
right.
really, really incredible. Like, it kind of felt like it was over, like you were underneath it.
Right. You know? Like, and the bass was over your head. I talked right. about that in the last couple of weeks on, I can't remember exactly the scene, but it was like how they can make that bass feel like it's over. And you're like, okay, well, I feel it. My seat's rumbling, the room's rumbling, but now I feel like it's something heavy is going over my head.
Right.
There was one scene or one noise. It was pretty cool. At 1:55 exactly, if you start it there, listen on the left side of your room, and there's like a tapping noise. I don't know what instrument does it. I don't. It's still like with the score. They're just about. It's before the flyover. It's right before it. It's like the words have just disappeared off the screen, and they're just about to pan down.
Right.
And if you listen on the left side of your room, you can hear this little tapping noise. That's like the. I backed it up. Listened to it again. It's floating. Right to your left, like slightly in front of you, like in my head right now, I'm thinking like maybe 2 feet in front of me on the left-hand side up by the ceiling. You can hear this, it's something over there. It's pretty cool. And I'm like, I hear little sounds like that jump out, and I'm like, somebody put, why? What is that doing in there?
Yeah, I don't know what that. I'll have to go back.
Well, yeah, yeah, check it out.
I don't know if I'm going to watch it again just now.
Yeah, just go to the 155.
Yeah,
it's right
I'll
at
put the
beginning.
Scenes in and see.
Yeah,
because yeah, I didn't clue in on it anyways.
The other, this is funny too. This is partially home theater, partially like what do you call it? Continuity error. So we have the Imperial Destroyer. And what's Leia's ship, right?
The Tantive IV.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. See, the Star Wars expert. Yeah. So that's about to go into the docking area. But if you notice all of the rebels in the ship, all of a sudden you hear the noise of it being docked.
Right.
And then they go outside the ship and show that it's still coming in.
Oh,
it's, yeah. So like, and it's pretty cool because you hear that noise of like the docking noises, and that it's an echo, and it all happens over your head, like your room is being lifted up by a crane or something. Right. Like it's like da dong, you hear it over your head. But then they go outside the ship, and it's like they're still just approaching each other. It's like okay, so he's not there yet. But the picture, like you said earlier, this is where you really see the first time you put this disc in,
yeah.
Where you see R2 and 3PO and the grime on them at right. The beginning of this. And then you go to the contrast, like you said, at the end and how shiny, how great they looked. But these opening scenes, there's like, you know, they're scarred. Yeah. You know, you see, you know, battle scars on them.
They've seen a lot of action. A
lot of wear and tear on them, yeah. And
a lot of like, carbon scoring.
There you go. So, from there we go to the lightsaber. What do you got? I don't move along until the 1 hour 27 minute mark.
Okay,
so
I've got a couple before that. So this is more a nostalgia scene than a theater scene. But at 50:56, I called it McClunky. The Han shot first. That's all I have to say about that scene. Again, nothing stands out as home theater wise, but like I think I talked about this the last time, either on this show or when we talked about it on the other show, but like just how cool, like Han Solo was the coolest guy in the entire world when you were seven years old, and he shoots Greedo and gets up and tosses a coin to his Witcher and says sorry about the mess. I just love, like, that's just such a great scene for me. I can't talk about this movie without talking about that.
So. Well, I like even now with the 4K, the Atmos, if Han doesn't shoot first, why is he alive?
Well, exactly, right? He has to shoot first.
Like, why is Greedo shooting the wall?
Because, yeah, Greedo's obviously a terrible shot.
He can't shoot somebody. Like, it's that's called point
pretty,
blank.
Pretty point blank, yes. He's almost as bad as a stormtrooper at this point. Because only Imperial troops are so precise, but they can't hit anything.
Yeah, well, that was early on in the movie when he said that. We never saw, you know.
Before we realized they couldn't hit anything.
Right.
They couldn't hit the broadside of a sandcrawler.
Where is that line, Ben?
Yeah.
Side of a
Yeah, so now the next scene I have, this is a like a home theater scene for me. 59:15, the destruction of Alderaan. Like,
yeah.
I mean that just sounds incredible. You know, the boom and the, you know, the sound, I think they did a great job with that. Like, it really shook the room. And you know, it was really, really good scene. So going through it, that was the first one sound wise that really kind of stood out for me.
Honestly, I don't think we get a big boom like that until the Death Star again, right?
Yeah, right. Which,
I mean, there's some nice bass throughout the movie.
There is, because like I said, I mentioned it with some of the shit, like even in the beginning with the Star Destroyer and stuff.
Yeah.
There's some pretty good bass, but like this is where like you really get your first big thump.
Right.
Of the room. And then I didn't note any of these specific timestamps, but you know, sound wise, the other thing that really stood out is like all the footsteps on the floor in the Death Star.
Yeah.
Like, it just sounded so clean and so good. And it's like, they did a really great job with I think, the sound mix in this.
Now, did you, where do you stand on the squishy floor?
I still don't know if I'm with you there. Like, I know what you're talking about. I think it's more a reflection of the bottom of his foot than it is an indentation in the floor. But, I don't know. I can see it.
You see what I'm talking about?
So I see it, yes.
Yeah. All right. So what we're talking about is if you look on, I didn't timestamp these either, but if you look on some of the scenes.
It would be the scenes where Han and Luke are escorting Chewie to the detention level.
Yeah, that's one of them. Yep. Yeah. But that floor, it looks like they're on a rubber mat because it looks like the floor in it's really, it, the better resolution we get. And I noticed this, it had to be the Blu-ray when the newer Blu-ray came out. Cause I don't think it was even on DVD, but I saw it and it's like that shiny black floor. It looks like a gym mat.
It does.
And it looks like they're sinking into it. But like you said, they're wearing the white boots. Maybe that's just the reflection of the side of the boot or something.
I think it's the reflection of the bottom of the foot coming back up at you that makes it look like it's sinking in.
But it's pretty
because logically I can't reconcile why they would go to the trouble to have rubber floors and then dub in the sound when they could literally just be walking on.
Well, honestly, because I've seen enough, like behind the scenes where they want to put in all the sound, like stuff like that. They want to do that themselves because right. Everything else, it doesn't come out as clean and they can actually put in a cleaner, like tick, 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 tick of feet. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. So yeah, if the sound just engineers put, definitely, even if it's a real floor, the sound engineer still went back in and added all that.
Right. So they'll take that out. So maybe they put in, that's what I thought like years ago when I noticed it, I'm like, maybe they actually put in like almost like a quiet floor. So it's easier later to put in whatever sound you want. Right. And it just makes the area, plus it, maybe that's a little bit more sound absorbent. So it's better for sound overall. I don't know. I just, that was a tangent I went on years ago and you and I have talked about it over the years. Been like, I don't know, back and forth. But if you look at that.
I even tried to look at it again when I watched it Monday.
You can't not now.
Yeah. I can't not. I have to look at it.
So now we've just exposed that to the Brightside Home Theater crowd.
Right. Now endless debates will ensue.
Right. It's a, yeah.
Yeah, you opened up the Pandora's box.
Yep. So, all right, what do you have next? Are we up to 127 yet?
A little before. I've got 119.35. This is the trash compactor scene. So,
yeah, I didn't put that in because I knew you would.
Yeah, so like the, you know, when Han falls in and shoots the door that's magnetically sealed, like you can hear the blast bouncing across the room. You know, which, you know, obviously it's bouncing across the sealed trash compactor and like you could feel like
it's magnetically sealed.
It. Yeah. And then, even from there, just the rest of that entire scene, the sound is really good. Like the water, you know, it's sounds like you're standing in standing water, you know, around you and, just the thump of the walls closing in and all
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, the bass rumble of the walls coming in.
And then kind of like the intercutting of, like 3PO and R2 back in the holding room or wherever they are. And again, the colors there with the red walls and like the, you know, the visuals there were awesome. So that whole scene just kind of blew me away. I think it was great.
Yeah, that is one of the echoes of their voices when they get in there. It's just the whole environment. It turns your room into the compactor.
Into the compactor, right. That's what I'm saying. You felt like you were in it.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like the walls sounded like they were closing in on you from the sides. It really immersed you in that room.
Yeah, that was a great scene. All right, so are we up to 127?
Yep.
Okay. Do you have this one?
I don't.
Okay. So this is, I called it Wrong Turn. And this is when Leia and Luke, they whoops, and the bridge is out, and they're like, right. we must have taken a wrong turn, but it's that echo.
I took a wrong turn in Albuquerque.
Yeah. So, but it's that echo that they're in there, where it's like you hear the voices bouncing around your room, but it's not like really strong because it's such a large area. You know, her voice is a little bit lower than like
right.
quieter than his, but it's still you have that nice echo going on. But then when the firefight starts and the score comes in, the score is over your head and right. to the sides. It's almost like it's draped over you and around the sides of you. But then all the action is going on like front of the screen, you know, so like the blaster's going off. We even get a nice Wilhelm scream in there.
Yeah.
When the, you know, stormtrooper falls off yep. of his whatever pedestal.
Love that scream.
Yep. The Wilhelm scream. But yeah, it was pretty cool how that the score was over your head. But what I've always liked about that scene ever since I think it had to be Prologic days back with even just VHS is that echo of their voices. And I think I'd bring people in and be like, listen to this. And it would really echo then. But it's, yeah, I've always loved that scene.
Yeah.
And that's at 127.55.
Cool.
Wrong turn. And then I got to imagine, what do you have in this space battle?
Well, yeah. So my last scene is, I didn't even timestamp it. I just have it as ending Death Star battle sequence. So this yeah, really starts
the entire
from,
thing.
Yeah, this really, it's the whole ending 10, 15 minutes of the movie. Just once they get into space, they lock the X-foils into attack position or whatever. And it's, you're just in it. Like it's all around
right.
you. It's like there's ships flying from your left, from your right, over your head. All the way up to the culmination where the Death Star explodes. I mean, it's just phenomenal from like start to finish. So I didn't isolate one specific moment of it because to me, it's all, once that battle starts,
yeah,
the whole thing yeah. is great. So
I have two. One's not really home theater, but it's more nostalgic and kind of funny, or at least I think it is. At 1:48, pretty much 1 hour 48 minutes even, it's that pick up your visual scanning.
Yeah, I love that. It's like I can't see him. Pick up your visual scanning. Translate: open your eyes and look around. I almost wrote that down too, and you know we've joked about
that.
It before. Yeah, we've talked about that before.
But it was so funny because it's so matter of fact.
Because he's like it's like your grandpa. Like he's an old pilot. Like he's too old to be flying anything, you know.
But it's Luke that says it because the report comes in from quote home base
right.
saying they have inbound
right.
fighters coming at you.
He
and
says,
Luke
I can't
goes,
see him.
He's like, I can't see him. I don't see anything. And you have that older pilot, like his commander.
Right.
And he says, like, pick up your visual scanners.
Right.
It's like, pick up your head and open your eyes.
Right.
You donkey.
It's like, look around. I mean, pull your head out of your butt and look.
Well, that and it only in that you couldn't do that nowadays, but Porkins.
Yeah, right, which you couldn't call them Porkins these days. It's not
no,
PC.
No. The big fat guy they stuffed yeah. into an X-Wing.
He's not called Slim.
Oh, that was... But yeah, that visual scanners line always cracks me up.
Yeah, I love it.
But home theater-wise, in all of that battle, at 1 hour, 50 minutes, and 10 seconds, it's the first group going down into the trench...
Uh-huh.
And it's, I labeled it the guns they've stopped. And right. when those guns stop, get up. If you have overhead speakers, if you have the Atmos speakers, those things are like on as loud as you are probably going to have them play at right. any time. Cause they're supposed to be atmospheric. So you're not, but they are right here. It's, you feel like those walls from that trench are right there. And it's a relatively, in this entire battle, this is a relatively quiet scene because the
right.
guns have stopped it, but you still have that huge hum through your room of you going down that trench. And again, it's like your room is the X-Wing.
Right.
And you have that vibration. But the Atmos effects that they're using here are very, very strong. It's really, really cool. And I mean, it's not heavy bass, but it's some decent bass too.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So yeah. plenty of other scenes for us to talk about next year, John.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't even have to move on to another Star Wars movie. We could just just talk about this next year.
Star Wars again.
Yep. Hey, I've now done it 2 years in a row. Why break a tradition?
Well, right.
We're on a roll, John.
Hey, two times makes a habit.
Yep.
Or what is it? Two times is a coincidence, three times is a habit or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. So I don't know. I can't remember those things. I'm not that bright. All right. Well, that's it. That's three. You've done three. Congratulations.
I got the hat trick.
You'll probably be the first to do four, too.
Yeah. In 12 months. Well, maybe sooner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, no. Yeah, definitely. You've got to pick the movie.
Yeah.
I know I can always ask you, but I don't want to bother you. I keep you busy with the other podcast. Right. So whenever you want to come on, you're always welcome. I'd be happy to co-host this with you.
Oh, I'm sure you would, but I've already gone from two shows to one.
Right.
I don't want to go back up to two just yet.
Yep. Yeah. So, all right. That'll do it for this week. You can, till next week, you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. You could check out this podcast, obviously, and all the other great podcasts, like the comics one there that's over there on the Nerdy Legion, right, John?
Bright Side. Yes, I've heard something about that show. Those guys are okay.
Yeah, they're all right. They stole our name.
They did.
And John, why don't you tell them about your store, where they can go for all their comics and games needs?
Yeah, so I own Arkham Comics and Games. We're here in Pearland, Texas. You can check us out on Twitter at Arkham Comics, comics with an X. And then, we're on Facebook at, Arkham Comics and Games. So.
And you can buy comics. He delivers.
You can buy comics. You can buy games, toys, you name it. I deliver all over the country. Yeah, I'll be happy to hook you up.
There you go. All right. That should do it for this week. Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for getting me to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Like I said, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here.
I'm sorry. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them.
Yeah, I know. All right. That's it. Have a great week, everybody. Go push play. Hey Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.